Welcome back. We're doing these quick transitions now. I'm sitting here with my great friend and a man I admire tremendously and have admired tremendously for many, many years. Steve Robinson was a former general manager of WFMT, the classical music station in the WFMT radio network. We mostly collaborated, Steve, not about classical music, but about studs-related stuff. We're like studs-related stuff, which I'm going to be doing this coming Saturday, filling in for studs at the Bughouse Square debates at in front of the Newberry Library, you know, in the Bughouse Square. Go to newberry.org.
Where his ashes are.
Yes, and Ida's. You have started, I was wondering, what's Steve going to do? Because many people just say, the hell with it, I'm done with radio. You were, I literally believe you were reinventing radio with your classical profiles. I have listened to some. You people will be able to listen to some. How did this idea, and explain the idea, come to you?
I originally had the idea. I did a lot of work in China, and people that were interested in the history of classical music radio series, or actually a podcast series, and it was going to be 52 hours. And I thought, it's a little ambitious.
Yeah.
And make a long story short, it morphed into, well, maybe I should try something. It didn't work out in China yet. I thought, wait a minute, I'll do it in English. I speak English, so we'll do it in English. And then that,
very articulate in English, too, yeah.
Then my Chinese is not so good. And that morphed into these three initial episodes on Beethoven. I decided just to do three as a test market, see what would happen. And it's the life and music of Beethoven in three neat little half-hour segments.
See, what I like about this is I think, and I think you will agree with me, there are many, many people who can be intimidated by the whole notion of classical music. Well, yeah, I once heard this and I don't like it, so I've never listened to it again.
Right.
But to put it in the framework where you are giving it a real life and the backstory, and it's not like, you know, look, Amadeus was a hit movie, and you know what I mean? And it's like these composers were larger than life figures, and I think they have not gotten their due because they're associated with this music that people idiotically find inaccessible. Talk to me about the you ran the classical music station. It is not inaccessible music. There's some junk.
Right.
Anybody would admit that.
Sure.
And there is some soaring material. Why are people intimidated by the notion of classical music?
Well, I think part of it has to do with, if you haven't been exposed to it, and you're used to listening to pop music,
right,
which is great music,
sure,
it can seem impenetrable. But if you're brought into it the right way, or in a way that's not off-putting, that's what I'm trying to do here, because these programs are intended for people who have some passing interest in classical music. It's not for music lovers, classical lovers, who have some passing interest. They know the name Beethoven, maybe they've heard the Third Symphony or the Fifth Symphony, but they want to learn more. And that's the audience that it's designed for.
I think that is the audience that will eat this alive. Let's play a little clip. Let's play a clip. Steve running three clips from, the website is Classical Profiles, and it technically is an audio download. Is that?
That's right.
You know how technologically dopey I am.
It's not quite a podcast
because
it doesn't come out on a regular basis. It's more like something you would download from Spotify or from iTunes.
Okay.
But it's not that either because that's music. And this is kind of a documentary. And so it's in three parts. Beethoven's life fell very, very roughly into three periods, his early period, his middle period, and his late period. And so each episode deals with those periods. And so I picked a clip from each show so you get the whole overview. And to do the life and music of Beethoven in 3.5 hours is a very broad overview.
Well, because I noticed that you're planning the next one to be Mozart in 10 hours.
Sorry, we're going to expand it a little.
And I was thinking to myself, wait a minute, I know Mozart's an interesting guy, but I thought Beethoven went deaf and all this other stuff. What little I know about him. Here is one clip. This is a short clip.
This is the opening of this of the whole series.
The opening of the series, the first episode of this Beethoven.
Mm-hmm. Beethoven. The very name thrusts itself upon us. Beethoven, what a word, what a name, says Robert Schumann. The deep sound of the mere syllables has the ring of eternity. Opening chords of Beethoven's First Symphony, heard in 1800 when the composer is 27 years old, are like doors opening majestically into a new world of sound, into a lifetime of music, a life that begins in prodigious feats of music making and performance. And ends in storm and stress.
That's fantastic. I've heard it 3 times today. It's a third time. Who is... There is music, there is obviously a very talented narrator, but also that narrator is a very talented writer. That writing is really spectacular. Who is this guy?
The writer and the narrator is a guy by the name of John Tibbetts. And John is a professor at the University of Kansas. I met him 10 years ago because I accidentally came across a 15-hour show he produced called The World of Robert Schumann. And it came across my desk by accident, and it was from Kansas, and I listened to it, and I was completely floored.
Wow.
It still is the best documentary on a classical composer I've ever heard. And I never heard of the guy, so I called him up, introduced myself, and asked him, do you teach musicology? He said, no, I'm a professor of film.
Wow.
He's also an artist. He draws. I said, well, how did you do this show? I mean, he said, well, I took my tape recorder around the country when I was traveling and in Europe, and I interviewed people over a 20-year period.
I said, God.
He said, who produced that? He said, well, I didn't do the editing and mixing, but I directed the whole thing, and I was totally floored. And so I took that 15-hour series, which had only aired in Lawrence, Kansas.
You're kidding me.
I said, did you ever ask the station why they didn't, syndicate it? He said, well, it's funny you ask. I went in and asked whether they would submit it for an award.
Sure.
And they said, no, they didn't think. So I took it in, and to make a long story short, it was heard all over the world.
You played it on FMT.
Well, I syndicated all over the country.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was floored. And so that's John. And so I've stayed in touch with him all these years, and I approached him about this, and he was just thrilled with the idea of Beethoven.
See, Steve Robinson, who have you approached with this notion who has not been thrilled? I mean, I've expressed my delight with it because I'm one of these people. I can't. I don't have, for instance, the time to never have. To listen to WFMT at length, to learn classical music. I am not also someone who is going to go pick up a book called Classical Music for Dummies to get up to speed on classical music because, you know what, they don't play any music. I think this combination of story and sound is what distinguishes this adventure of yours.
Well, I do see it at classicalprofiles.com. I do see it as eventually a platform for creating documentaries, music, and narration on all the composers.
Yeah.
Eventually. I'm going to take over the world.
Well, you already did it, WFMT. You get Aubrey Mumbauer to help you, the genius engineer. In taking over the world, Mozart is next. There are contemporary classical composers too, are there not?
They're still alive, a lot of them. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. That's a good point. I am definitely going to do profiles of living composers like John Adams and so many others that deserve it. Stacy Garrop, right here in Chicago.
You seem very, very excited and energized by this.
Yes,
project.
It has enormous potential. People ask me,
how long did it take? How long did from conception to calling John Tibbetts to getting the rights to paying for the rights to the music to putting this all together? You as the editor and mixer of this whole thing. How long a process was this?
A little less than a year.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That seemed pretty good to me.
That's right. Well, Exploring Music, which I started on WFMT, which has been on for 14 years, we got the grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. You remember them?
Yes, I do.
It was one of the biggest grants they ever gave for radio. And to their astonishment, to this day, I had it on the air in 10 months.
Wow. Wow. Talk to me for a second before we have to take a break about the power of, you've been in the business forever. The power of radio I have ever found, I find it to be the most intimate form of communication other than, you know, the most intimate form is sitting with a really good buddy and having an interesting conversation on two bar stools. Next comes radio to me.
That's right.
What is it about radio?
Well, because it's so intimate. And if you're any good, you're talking to one person in your mind, as I'm sure you try to do. There's something intimate about it. People call it the theater of the mind, you know. And you can conjure up any kind of, people can try to imagine what I look like.
Exactly, yeah.
People come up to me and say, you know, you don't look anything like you sound, to which I always reply, disappointing, isn't it?
Sorry. Very, very, very sorry. Now,
and it's a strong medium. It's still a profitable medium. It's, you know, the internet is making its inroads, but we're still live and kicking. Radio is always about to die.
Right.
Since the invention of film.
Yeah.
But it never does.
How do people get, do they just go to classicalprofiles.com?
Yes, you go to classicalprofiles.com, and there you'll see the website. Now, there's a fee for this.
Yeah, well, there should be.
Well, people have said, you know, everything's free on the internet.
Well, see, that's the problem. That's why newspapers are screwed up, because at one point, 25 years ago, we said, oh, this internet, let's give our stuff away free. Yeah.
Right.
I think that's idiotic.
Well, I've always said that if you have something of value on the web, and no one will pay for it, maybe it wasn't quite as valuable as you thought. But with Exploring Music, I put that on the air in 2003, but we created the website in 2013, and I was determined to ask people to pay. It was 1,200 hours.
Sure, right.
And we charge $60 a year, WFMT, exploringmusic.org, and we're bringing in $50,000 a year.
Wow.
So
wow.
People will pay for something if it's valuable, if they
well,
value
they'll
it.
Pay for, people will pay for something of quality.
Right.
There is no doubt about it.
Now, on classicalprofiles.com, we have three episodes, and you can listen to a sampler of each one, so you can sample before you buy. It's not very expensive, either.
Let's listen to a second sample, because I want you people to buy. We'll listen to a
can
second.
Can I set this up?
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Reason I want to set this up. So the show is intended for people with a passing interest in classical music, as I said, but not aficionados. So I have a neighbor. She's a painter, sensitive lady, and she came down, and we were talking, and I said, well, let me play this little segment right here, the one we're going to play right now. 2.5 minutes.
No.
Not yet. 2.5 minutes, and I'm not making this up.
Yeah.
She's sitting there. At the end of the 2.5 minutes, she wasn't just crying. She was weeping.
Oh, my God.
And I was stunned, because I produced it to be dramatic.
Yeah.
But to see the reaction of this woman, so her life is, or her attitude, I don't know about her life has changed, but her attitude towards Beethoven has definitely changed. And you'll hear why when you hear this, because a lot of people don't know how tormented he was.
Yeah. Aubrey?
It is October 6th. The year is 1802. We find Ludwig van Beethoven in a small town in a lodging house in the little village of Heiligenstadt, just north of Vienna. The Danube flows nearby. He puts pen to paper. The words are tear-stained. He writes that he's been noticing hearing loss as early as the turn of the century. But now things are getting worse. A humming and buzzing intermittently assail him. He complains he cannot hear the high notes of instruments and voices. He feels insecurity in the company of others. He writes that he's afflicted by a lasting malady, as he puts it. Quote, though born with a fiery, active temperament, he adds, I was soon compelled to withdraw myself to live alone. He despairs of this infirmity, which ought to be more perfect in me than in others, he continues. A sense which I once possessed in the highest perfection, such as few have enjoyed. He concludes, if death comes before I've had the chance to develop all my artistic capacities, it will still be coming too soon. And yet he summons up his courage and declares he'll live entirely in his music. Only his art, he admits, holds him back from suicide. I will seize fate by the throat, he writes. It shall certainly not bend and crush me completely.
That is incredibly powerful, Steve Robinson.
Thank you. Thank you.
You and your colleague, John Tibbett, should be very proud of that. There is one more we have to play, too, for you. We've got to take a commercial break and get some news. And Roger Battish just came in here to say hello to his friend, Steve Robinson. Go, in the meantime, to classicalprofiles.com. It is astonishingly inexpensive, by the way, and also... Because you're also paying, right? You don't get this music for free, man.
It's a license with Knox House Records.
Of course it is, because not everything on the internet is free.
We have what we call a companion download for every episode. And the companion download, and there's three of them, contains all of the music that you hear in the order it was presented on the little half-hour show in its entirety. So the companion download for episode one is an hour and a half of music.
Wow.
In episode two, because it's the Ninth Symphony, 3.5 hours of music. And in episode three, it's 2.5 hours. And they're $8 each.
Wow. So you're getting a concert. And also, you're getting the ability, Steve, and tell me I'm wrong here, to, if something appeals to you aesthetically, orally, and you say, I want to hear more of that, you can listen to more of it, and if you don't like it, you can move on to the next one.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow.
Now, in the half-hour shows, we don't identify the performers, or the orchestras, and all that. Some of my friends have said, well, that's a sacrilege. And I didn't want to interrupt the flow of the narrative to say, well, it's on, you know, this recording and that recording, but that's all there on the website. Everything, right down to the last second.
Who could complain about that? Because it would interrupt what so far, from what I've heard, is Mr. Tibbett's unbelievably cool, articulate, and very moving narrative.
He's brilliant.
Before I let Steve go, let's hear a bit of the final clip from the third episode of Classical Profiles. Beethoven, don't you think? We're doing this other Mozart. Eventually, when he gets his time, he's going to get 10 episodes. You may one day have to do, like, more Beethoven episodes.
Well, 2020 is a big year for Beethoven. It's the 250th anniversary of his birth.
Okay.
So we're gearing up for a big one.
Because three doesn't seem enough. No. I mean, this guy was just like, the Bob Dylan of his time. Yeah, very talented guy. Let's hear, if we could, actually, the third.
During the waning months of 1826 and early spring 1827, Beethoven's health rapidly deteriorates. He is confined to his bed. Visitors come and go. The legend that at the time of his death, late in the afternoon of 26 March, a fierce thunderstorm erupts. It's true. He raises his fist. Then nothing. Only his formerly estranged sister-in-law, Johanna, was present. Contributing causes of death are attributed to typhus, liver disease, syphilis. Among the effects left behind is a miniature ivory portrait of Antony Brentano, the immortal beloved, and the manuscript of the Heiligenstadt Testament. It's a lovely funeral, as the Viennese would say. Many thousands of mourners crowd the streets on March 29. One of the torchbearers is Franz Schubert. The procession advances to the suburb of Währing, where Beethoven is interred in the parish cemetery. This is not the end. In this hymn to Thanksgiving from a late string quartet, Opus 132, Beethoven gives thanks for the deliverance from an episode of a painful illness. He inscribes his thanks himself on the score. But even if the deliverance was proven to be only temporary, the music, indeed, like all of his music, is timeless. It outlives us all.
Steve Robinson, you have really created with Classical Profiles something that you can be very, very proud of, certainly, but I think it is going to, in many ways, kind of revolutionize certainly the way people think of classical music. What appeals to me is the fact that you are going to, with this thing, draw people in who were those people who were like, I don't like classical music, and create basically a new audience. Is that being too optimistic here?
Well, that's my goal.
Good.
It's an optimistic goal, but
yeah.
It's my goal.
Yeah, because I just said there's so much to like. What would you, now you will see how this goes and how many people buy.
I have translated, we're translating them into Russian.
Are you really?
Yeah, and Mandarin.
This is like an international, this can be an international
thing. I hope so.
Thing. Well, those Chinese who wanted like 50,000 hours of the thing. you got to keep me posted about
this, Rick.
Steve. I just,
thank you.
And do you and Ms. and John Tibbetts do this in person with each other, or because of the technology?
Well, it was all done. I haven't seen John. He'll be in Chicago next week, but I haven't seen him in a while. No, it's all done online and in phone calls and... everything's online these days, as it is this, classicalprofiles.com.
Yeah. I will say it again, too, classicalprofiles.com. I will not insult you people by spelling it for you. Steve, congratulations. I thought, well, Steve, after a very lengthy and successful career at WFMT and at the WFMT Radio Network, would become a golfer on the Super Seniors Tour, but he is using his time much more valuably by creating classicalprofiles.com. It's always great to see you.
Thank you, Rick. Very much.
Always great to see you. We'll take a little break, and we'll talk some jazz with Laurie Shelley.